Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, rock and roll. And we are live on the air.
Delicious. Hey, everybody. It's Kitty Martone, Healthy Gut Girl.
And Mark Lobato.
And Mark Lobato. Oh, yeah, he's here.
I'm here, too.
Guess what, guys? I wrote a book. I'm so happy about my book. I can't even stand it. Hi, Dita. Come join us. Listen, this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. We're coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine. And we're both drinking...
LaCroix.
Berry LaCroix. LaCroix.
Yeah, this is a drink that's become sort of the new fad now, and all it is basically soda water.
With some essential oil extracts in it. But, you know, they're
being
sued.
Is that what it is, essential oil extract?
Yeah, they're being sued because they're saying it's not natural that there's cockroach killer in it. It's
what?
A class action lawsuit
really?
That they're going to lose because basically, here, you know, things like neem oil, for example, right? Neem oil... What's wrong?
There we go.
Neem oil is a... much better, by the way. Neem oil is a plant. Neem is a plant. And the extract from it, you can take oil and you can also make bark from it, like a powder. Neem bark. And... Sorry, I'm having a burp. These LaCroix are bubbly. Ooh. So you can take this... extract, this neem bark and neem oil, and you can use it to rub on your gums, and it helps to kill like bacteria and it's antibacterial, antifungal, it's an anti-infective basically, and it's powerful too. And they also use it in pesticides. It's a natural pesticide. And it's in a lot of pesticides. You go to like Home Depot and pick up a pesticide thing and look at it, a bug killer, weed killer thing, and you'll see neem oil in a lot of this. And because it's in there, you automatically think it's poison, right? But it's not. You know, you can consume it. I wouldn't drink a whole bunch of it, but you can consume it. So a lot of things are like that. You can extract oils from different herbs and different plants and different trees and different bushes, and you can make poisons from them. And so they use extractions of different types to put to flavor LaCroix. Like they use limonene, which is oil of orange. That's all it is. It's a citrus oil, but it's also can be, it also can be used as a pesticide. It can kill. You can
or
put it in a spray bottle
in it, right?
Yeah.
One of many ingredients.
You can put it in a spray bottle and you could literally like kill ants with it, but it's also oil of orange. You taste it and it tastes like oranges, and you can put it in, you can take the oil and it's helps to emulsify fat. So when people don't have a gallbladder, you can actually buy this from Premier Research Lab sells neem oil, and they sell limonene, and you can take these little essential oils and you can put a couple drops on your tongue of like the limonene when you eat a fatty meal, like say you're having avocado or you're having salmon or something. You can put like a couple of drops in a sip of water or in on your tongue, and it will help you digest your fats so that your gallbladder, which was supposed to be doing it but you don't have one, or your gallbladder super congested, or you have gallbladder liver issues, this will help you break down the fat the same way taking like ox bile or taking lipase, fat digestant. So these things are amazing, and they are ingestible, but because people see them in a pesticide, as an pesticide ingredient, they're freaking out. It's not natural. It's poisonous. And so LaCroix does this. They use some of those in their ingredients to flavor them because they're all natural. Mm-hmm. They're completely natural. I think the carbonation is added. They're not naturally carbonated. So that can sometimes not be great for you. You can't drink tons of carbonation that's not natural.
Well, that's the idea. You don't want to be drinking too much soda because your body's doing all it can to expel carbon dioxide. And it's actually... It's what
added.
Create.
You can have it when it's naturally added at the source, like at
like
you,
the what was the
Gerolsteiner, Steiner's right. And stuff like that, crystal.
And you know, and you can taste the difference because this has. It feels like the bubbles are bigger and this effervescence is larger. Mm-hmm. As a Gerolsteiner, it's a little smoother. It's like
it makes
smaller bubbles.
It's the mousse is finer. That's what they say.
The,
right?
The mousse.
You know that. So didn't you learn that doing working with all the wines and stuff? When you have champagne and you're tasting champagne, the finer the mousse, the more high quality the champagne is. And the mousse is that, like, how small and thin are the bubbles? How quickly do they snap in your mouth? Or do they kind of, like, are they smooth?
God, I went through so much wine training and never heard
that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I went to I took this UCLA, this wine course at UCLA for a short time. And I wanted to be a sommelier. And I, because I have this crazy nose, you know? Like, I just can, like.
Well, you like to drink. There you go. You want to be able to talk about what you're drinking.
Like, I always like when you can just call a spade a spade. Yes, exactly. I like to drink. But anyway, the mousse and things that are added carbonation is not fine at all. It's very hard and big. And,
Correct.
Makes you burp. So point is, they will lose that class action lawsuit, and I'm going to keep drinking me some
LaCroix. I don't see anyone suing Tic Tacs. Because if you look at the ingredients in Tic Tacs, one of the ingredients says propylene glycol, and that's what's in antifreeze in your car. So,
Here's what they're suing them for, because they're claiming to be natural. This LaCroix is claiming to be natural.
Who's suing? Who's doing the suing? Do we know the class action?
Some idiot, some guy who's, you know, some lawyer that's bored, looking for a payday and just grabbing some people and saying, "Hey, apparently they've been sued before and it didn't work." Anyway, so what it's doing for me is it's giving me LaCroix on sale, and that's the bomb. So, hey, if you want to go and get your own limonene and get your own neem oil and neem bark, especially for people who have root canals, you can take that neem oil and neem bark and make a little bit of mud on your finger, and you can rub it into the root canal area, and it'll help keep that area disinfected. So you know how nasty root canals are. So just go to healthygutgirl.com shop page and click on that shop page, and you can sign up for your own Premier Research Labs account. You like how I slid that in there?
I love it. I love it.
And then there was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, we got another coupon code for our listeners, because I was going on and on and on about the Ancestral Supplements. And Corey over at Ancestral Supplements really likes what we're doing and is supporting our efforts and how awesome the podcast is doing and my book and everything about Healthy Gut Girl. And he gave us a code, and it's Kitty. KITTY, and you can get I think it's 10% off of any of the ancestral supplements that they have, and which is great because they have the liver pills, which I highly recommend for anybody who has been told they have anemia. Throw your iron pills away and pick up some of these grass-fed and finished liver pills. I take 6 a day, or I was taking 6 a day when I found out that I had
anemia.
Are you
still taking the kidney pills?
Now
as
I'm
well?
Taking the kidney. I stopped taking the liver for now, and I'm taking kidney. I don't want to inundate my body with organ meats.
Oh, so you'll just like do it sporadically? Like you don't take it every day?
I do. Well, I stopped taking the liver pills. Now I'm taking the kidney pills every day. And I've really noticed a difference in my energy levels because, you know, supporting the chi, right? You know, that sort of base energy that we all have, that's the kundalini down there in our root chakra. And that is, you know, your vitality. It's like how you feel when you wake up in the morning. Or you just like, I mean, you can be tired in the morning. Like I wake up and I don't want to get out of bed. But once I do, I'm like, da-da-da, as opposed to like waking up and just dragging and feeling a sense of doom or whatever, you know?
Yeah, let me go for that cup of coffee.
Exactly. And I feel really good on these. So I'm taking the kidney now. I just recommended the spleen to someone else not too long ago because they were told they had an inflamed spleen by their doctor, which is not a good thing. And so I recommended those. So this person got on those, and we'll see how they're doing. But it's just a great whole food, not whole foods, whole food from whole food derived, grass-fed and finished, high quality supplement that I love. Listen, we have an off-topic guest today, and we're going to start doing this more and more frequently where it's, you know, not directly related to health, although there is some of that in this. And this is a girl who I met in a really cool way that I talk about. Her name is Sarah Stender, and she's going to tell us all about herself. And she's really special. I met her at brunch not that long ago, and I was like, you've got to be on my podcast with this story. It is so special. So listen up and hope you enjoy. Sarah, thank you for joining us. I wanted to tell everyone that some of the best guests that we've ever had have been like random situations where I'm hanging out somewhere with friends, or, you know, I have a client and they say, oh, I want you to meet this friend of mine. And then I meet this person and they have this incredible story that moves me to the point that I'm like, you've got to be on my show, even if it's slightly off topic from what we talk about on Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And so we met you through our friend Steve Cassess at brunch one day, and I was just completely engaged and enthralled by your whole story, and that's why you're here. So I want you to tell everybody about yourself.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kitty, for having me. It was awesome to meet you in Venice. And that was actually my first time in the LA area.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. What did you think?
Love it. Yeah.
It's great, right?
It's amazing. Yeah. And I'm really sorry to see what's going on right now with all the fires.
Yeah. That you guys missed that by a few weeks. It's been so smoky, and the wind has come along and pushed a lot of the smoke out, but then that doesn't help with the fire situation at all. So, it's very sad.
Yeah. Well, we were actually talking about it today. My name is Sarah Stender. Thanks so much again for having me on. And I'm the founding director of a nonprofit called AHE, which stands for Africa Healing Exchange. And I'm also the founding owner of a company called Three Mountains. And we have two product lines that are new to market. One is called Tima Tea, and Tima means heart in the native language of Rwanda, which is where we do a lot of our work. And the other product line is called Silverback on Tap, and that's coming out in cans this month. It's a natural energy drink made with organic fair trade tea, and that's why I was in LA, actually, because that's where we're doing our production for Silverback. Hmm. Just today, we had a training call with AHE, and we're teaching people how to expand their resiliency in order to be best prepared for the life challenges that come along, regardless of where in the world we live or what we were born into. And today we were talking about how to resource when we're in situations of stress or when we feel triggered by traumas. And we were actually talking about the fires going on right now in California, because it can be really, really hard. I mean, it's so hard for people to go through that. And even for those watching, you know, there's a lot of tough things that we see on the news around the world. And so how to manage all those things and then move through with grace and ease and maintain a healthy nervous system and be the best people we can be through all that.
Yeah, you know, something that I had never seen in my life that was coming through this these last few days online were the videos of people driving out of the locations, trying to get out of Malibu and out of West Hills and all of that, and being caught in the fires and, you know, having their camera mounted on their dash and being able to show us what they went through. And it was harrowing. I was completely in total panic a couple times as one of them was a woman trying to get out, and she did get out, but she was on Canaan Dune Road, which was just, or Canaan Road, right? Canaan? Anyway, it's these two tunnels, and she was going through the tunnels, and each time she came out of one of the tunnels, it was like worse. Mm. And she came out of the second tunnel, and it was just a complete inferno. And there's all these little firebombs hitting her car and these sparks, and she's praying, but then when she gets out of the second tunnel, she's just breathing, like panicking. You can hear her trying to breathe, and she's, it was unbelievable. I was completely stressed from it, and I just felt, I was so happy for her that she was able to get out, but there was a lot of people that didn't, you know? So anyway, mm-hmm. You're right. It's been traumatic for a lot of people, and hitting so close to home, you know, seeing my friends who lost homes and had to be evacuated. And, you know, it's, you're right. It's very stressful. And to try to maintain your sanity through this is a big deal. Definitely.
Yeah. And, you know, I started working in Rwanda in 2009 when I lived there, and I met so many people who had survived the genocide of 1994. And it changed my life working with these survivors and recognizing that no matter what, no matter what we go through, no matter what circumstances we were born into, we can overcome it and we can expand our resiliency. And, but when these things happen in natural disasters, you know, it's like such a great time to have an open heart and to just call in as much compassion as we can, because we don't know what anyone's past is. You know, a lot of people have had a history of trauma. And so these things can also really trigger our old wounds that maybe we haven't healed, or maybe it's an opportunity to do that healing work.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I thought was, so first of all, what took you to Rwanda in the first place?
Yeah, it's a different place to go, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not on the top of most people's lists.
Right. I know. People ask me that question all the time, and I don't really have a short answer, but when I was 22 years old, I was living in Boston, and I was working for a big bank, and I had just graduated college. I had this life that, you know, I was born in this small town in Vermont, and I had a lot of privilege. I had, you know, what looked like on the outside a very good life. But I felt so numbed out inside. Like, I really struggled with life, and I struggled with addictions, anxiety, depression. And I had this, you know, one life during the day, and then at night it was a whole different story. And so I was doing what I thought was the right thing, you know, getting the job and trying to make the money. But I just felt like I wasn't on my path. And so I was searching and struggling. And one night I rented a documentary about the genocide in Rwanda, which had happened a few years before this, but I didn't know about it. Mm. And I watched this movie, and that night I was alone. It was like my heart broke open. It was like such horrendous, horrendous stories to hear about. And yet I felt like I could feel the women's pain, almost like I hadn't been able to acknowledge my own or really do the healing work that I needed to do from some of my own traumatic experiences in early childhood, as a teenager, in college. Mm-hmm. But in hearing the stories of other people, specifically women in Rwanda who had lost nearly everything, it called out to me, and it called out this purpose. And it was, that was a turning point for me. And I knew one day that I had to go to Rwanda and learn about the spirit of resilience. And that's actually the tagline for my company, is the spirit of resilience. And so fast forward, it took me about 8 years to finally get there. And I had just moved to Asheville, North Carolina, beautiful place. I love Asheville and consider it home. And this email came through from the school that I got my graduate degree at. And this position was described. It was like made for me. You know, it was that moment. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, I just know I have it. Like, I have to go. This is my ticket to Rwanda. And I knew the time was right. So I applied. The position was for managing director of Heaven Restaurant, which is this restaurant in the capital city owned by a couple of Americans who have a background in public health. And they created the business to offer a hands-on training facility for Rwandan genocide orphans.
Oh, wow.
So I had about 30 days to pack my bags and rent my house and find a home for my dog. And it happened so easily.
Wow.
It, you know, people were like, how do you do that? And it just, you know, when you're on your path and you're in the flow and you're open, it actually happens pretty easily.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah. So, okay. So then you get there, and then that begins your journey with everything. Are you still working with those people in some capacity?
Yes, I am. So, I'm in touch with a lot of them. It was a team of about 25 young adults, and I'm still good friends with some of them, and our reach has really expanded. I came back to the States and started a nonprofit, which is AHE, and we started this in partnership. So it's an organization that's not based in a charity model. It's a collaboration between Americans and Rwandans building this replicable model of resiliency that we can now, we're piloting our first online program. We're in week six, I think, today. And so this will become an online program that anyone in the world can do. And it helps, we're also bringing a lot of education and training in around the topics of addiction and substance abuse. And that's part of my past too, is overcoming alcoholism. And I've got 12 years clean and sober now.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
So a question, how long were you in Rwanda? You said a couple of years.
Yeah, I lived there for almost a year in 2009, and then I've been back, I think we've had eight trips since then, and I'll be back in February and then again in June, and most times I open those trips up to guests as well.
I'm curious, what's it like living in Rwanda for a year? What is that experience? I mean, how do you even fly into Rwanda? I mean, what's that experience
like? Oh, gosh, Mark, are you going to pack your bags? I just saw a spark in his eye. Oh, my God.
I'm just curious.
We have a couple of seats left, Mark. February 5th, if you're interested, we'll be there. And anyone who comes with me gets to witness a traditional Rwandan wedding. One of our employees is getting married.
You mean you hitch me up with someone? Is that what you're telling me? You hook me up?
You get married and you get a job.
Wow, I get tea and a relationship out of this.
Well, let me tell you, in Rwanda, if you are getting married, there is a dowry involved. Oh. And usually there are cows involved.
Oh, well, you've got a cow, don't you, Mark?
I could use a cow.
Wow. Okay, this is really, really interesting.
Yeah, so there is an airport. Okay, there's a couple airports, and the capital is called Kigali. It's KGL is the airport code. And it's a long trip, but it's manageable. We usually stop in Europe, or you can fly through South Africa. So it's about two flights, 7 hours each. And Rwanda is called Land of a Thousand Hills. So it's very mountainous. It's very green. Some people imagine sub-Saharan Africa as being like desert or dry or flat. It's not at all. It's beautiful. It's lush. It's high elevation.
Lots of vegetation.
Lots of vegetation. Almost everyone has some kind of farming project, and most people are growing their own food. The capital city, I would say my quality of life in Kigali, believe it or not, was like probably the best of my life.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really easy place to live, and there's some beautiful homes, and it's very clean, it's organized, it's super safe. There's a lot of...
And it's a modern city?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how's the food?
Well, the food is great. I've had different types of eating plans. I've been vegan, gluten-free, paleo. I've done the whole thing, and I've tried each one in Rwanda, and it's been really easy. It's amazing. And in the capital, there's a lot of international cuisine now. It's come a long ways, I would say, in the past 10 years or so. But I got to say, in 94, I mean, everything was, the nation was destroyed. I mean, this was, in 100 days, 10% of the population was slaughtered on the streets, in the water. I mean, it was one of the most violent things ever in world history in that short a period of time. Mm-hmm. And so it's only been that long that the country has rebuilt all of its infrastructure. It's got a lot of tourist attractions now, and they're doing some international business and really coming back. You know, there's this great Netflix movie called Rising from the Ashes, and it's about the Rwandan cycling team that is just done that, you know, and Rwanda is actually hosting, the same time we're there this February, they're hosting the African tour, or the tour to Africa.
Oh, wow.
Which will we have some of the like world's elite cyclists there. And so it's a big deal. You know, these cyclists will be moving across the country, showing the rest of the world how beautiful and safe it is now.
Wow. So, all right. So let's back up, because I want to squeeze every bit out of this because it just is so exciting to me. So you worked with this restaurant called Heaven, and in what capacity did you work with them when you arrived?
I arrived, and it was the night of Obama's inauguration speech. It was so powerful, and I arrived to a dirt tarmac, the doors of the plane open. I've never been to sub-Saharan Africa, and I smell like cooking and smoke, hearing women singing, and it's like, wow. I felt like I was coming home, Kitty. Like, I really felt so at home and so peaceful and so relaxed, and I just knew I was in the right place. And everyone, I mean, we arrived at the restaurant late that night and they had this big screen TV up. It was an open air like terrace on the restaurant and they were all watching President Obama's speech. And everyone was so excited. Wow. Because he has, you know, his father had roots in the neighboring country of Kenya. Mm-hmm. And so I was welcome with open arms and started working right away to implement some training programs like customer service, culinary arts. I trained the office staff, administration, accounting. Mm-hmm. So we were really working hard to build an opportunity for job skills and to really improve the food quality too, so we could attract more visitors and tourists to Rwanda. And I think within a couple of years, it became known as the best restaurant in Rwanda. And now there's a whole lot more competition, but at Great. One point, yeah. Yeah.
And is there a lot of corruption, though? I mean, I know in most of Africa there is, and it's but sometimes it's actually what's keeping the place kind of stable, you know, when they do have this sort of thing, or is it something that you don't even notice, or what's that like?
I'm not an expert on that topic, but I do know it's Rwanda. Maybe this is partly due to having such a violent history. Our violent past, it's one of the safest, most transparent nations in Africa. And if you drive around the streets, there are billboards that have these like text, you know, if you notice any corruption, text this number and report what you've seen. And I didn't experience it, you know, so I really Great. Don't know, but it felt really honest and transparent. And I really believe that the nation's leaders have, you know, their, you know, citizens' best interests at heart.
Yeah. I get the thing that made me think of it was you said that it was the best restaurant and now there's competition, and competition is always a great sign that you have a flourishing economy and you've got a stable government because they're allowing that competition and sort of free market frame of mind. So that's why I was wondering. But so then it transitioned, and then you transitioned out of that into doing what? So how did you make your way into the tea? I don't want to jump any really cool stories, so I don't want to rush us here.
Well, you know, you mentioned a good thing about democracy and economic, you know, competition, economic development, and in my late 20s, one of my first jobs after grad school and once I was sober that I really tapped into my passion was working as a fair trade activist in the U.S. So I helped start an organization called Fair Trade Towns USA, and I consulted with some other fair trade organizations. And that's when I got really, really interested in looking beyond just the products that we buy on the shelf and really looking at how we can build relationships with the people who produce and grow the things that we buy and we eat. So we do that a lot. I mean, I grew up in a farming family in Vermont. We do that a lot with our farmers in our own towns, but there's a lot of products we buy that we can't grow where we live. So like coffee and tea, I started really digging deeper. And in 2007, I started emailing with the president of this coffee cooperative in Rwanda. His name is Mr. Emmanuel. And so I hadn't been to Rwanda yet. I found his information because he had taken initiative to start the first certified organic coffee farm in Rwanda. And I thought that was fascinating because the demand still wasn't that high. He also was part of the fair trade system. So I remember this email he sent me, and his English was really great. And we also communicated in French, and mine isn't so great. But he invited me to come visit. And, you know, it was probably just one of those very polite things, but I thought, okay, I will.
He's like, whoa, she's coming. Yeah. Oops.
You're actually here.
How soon can I come? So fast forward, I did finally meet Mr. Emmanuel, and I left the world of fair trade temporarily to move to Rwanda, and I thought this would be a great opportunity to really get to know the producer partners and to really hear, like, is the system better for you when we buy fair trade, for example? Mm-hmm. Is it really better for you to become certified organic? Or do you make more money selling it another way? And so I used the opportunity working as the director of Heaven to also get to know coffee and tea and experience this amazing, amazing product coming out of a place that people know so little about. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I started bringing coffee and tea back for friends, and everyone loved it. And we're all thinking, why is this blended with other, it's so hidden. You know, we don't see single origin Rwandan coffee or tea much. And so I started researching that and found it would be a great opportunity to let consumers here in North America really experience it single origin. And I already was working with some tea producers and facilities in Rwanda. So it was a natural next step. Mm-hmm. We were doing the nonprofit work and lots of fundraising efforts there. And I believe that will always remain in that structure. But I really want to create more sustainable opportunities for people to live the life of their dreams. And that's through building businesses and offering economic opportunities. And I don't believe that the charity model is sustainable. I don't believe that people can heal, you know, fully heal and tap into their true selves if they're always the recipient and never being offered the opportunity to give to others.
Ah, those are beautiful words. I'm so glad you said that. I really believe that as well. That was amazing. You know, when people are given the opportunity to be responsible and creative and be, you know, and have ingenuity, they take it, they do it, they use it. But when they are given the opportunity to be dependent, they will remain dependent. And that is not a way, that's not a, like you said, it's not a sustainable, healthy, not for the mind, not for the spirit, and not for the economy. That's not the way to help someone out of a hole. You know, you give someone, just like you said earlier, you know, when someone is going through trauma and stress, sometimes you can't deal with it yourself. Sometimes you look at your own problems and you don't see them. But when you all of a sudden you're watching something on TV or on the internet, or you watch the movie about the Rwandan genocide, and all of a sudden it brings your pain out because you're helping that person. You want to help them. And now you feel and see your own pain and you get cracked open that way. And that's like people helping each other. That's why everything about community is so important. Anyway, I just derailed, but that was beautiful what you just said.
You're exactly right. The theme of our training today was we're talking a lot about social connection and how it's related to addiction. And I think the trainer's line was that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is not being able to have connections. And so it really is about being able to connect in community with others and to also connect with ourselves in order to live that sober life in recovery.
Mm-hmm. So it shifted from you doing everything with Heaven and then hooking up with Mr. Emmanuel and doing exploring the tea and coffee options. And then it turned into this other part of your true mission. The underlying sort of through line here for you was to extend your mission out and help other people. So the addiction thing, how does that resonate with people in Rwanda? Is that, are there people, I mean, this sounds like a ridiculous question as I say it, but is addiction an issue there?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I can understand some people are surprised or they ask, how do people get drugs and alcohol in maybe a country that's got such a high poverty level? So many people are living on $3 or less per day. And the thing is, I mean, trauma is universal. Addiction is universal. And oftentimes, I think almost everyone who's experienced addiction knows, you know, has a history of trauma of some kind. It goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And there's also evidence that shows that children born to parents or mothers who have untreated post-traumatic stress disorder or a history of trauma that hasn't been treated, they often come into the world with a dysregulated nervous system.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And so are automatically set at a disadvantage to face life challenge. And so as they develop, and this is not, you know, there's always exceptions. And those children, now the children in Rwanda, are growing up, their parents were many of them genocide survivors, and they're looking for coping mechanisms to deal with the dysregulated nervous system, the anxiety, everything else that goes along with that, and the difficulty sometimes connecting with others and having meaningful relationships. So drugs and alcohol are an easy short-term solution, and you know, it works sometimes. Until it doesn't work, it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And we can get that anywhere, no matter how much money we have. I mean, look at all the people who have hit the kind of bottom that we never want to experience. They have no money, but they still get the drugs.
Right.
And so there's always a way to make alcohol. You can ferment just about anything. There's banana trees. Yeah. There's banana trees all over the country that are made into beer, for free. And there's always a way to make drugs. You know, there's street drugs. There's different ways you can create. I mean, I don't want to give anyone ideas here, but but it's always possible, especially when, you know, we want our fix and we want it now. So it's not just a problem in Rwanda. The problem is that there are very few resources right now in Rwanda and many other countries. So I am so grateful that when I needed help in the U.S., I had so many resources. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of why I wanted to give back to people who maybe don't have access to resources to start, you know, that road of recovery. Mm-hmm. And there's only one detox center in East Africa, as far as I know. And there's only a couple of services in Rwanda offering treatment and prevention for addiction and substance abuse. So we've been invited to partner with the nation's group of trauma counselors, and they're called ARCT Rahuka. And our hope is that over the next 12 months, we'll be able to reach 1,000 people in Rwanda, covering half of the nation by delivering a training for trainers. It starts with only training 12 Rwandan counselors, and then they go out and they each train between 30 and 40 other counselors. And then we've got a team of counselors who are helping people on the ground on a daily basis.
Wow, this is really rolling into something massive, and it's a beautiful thing. How do the teas and coffee, so you said it's not a full on charity. So how do the profits work when you make revenue from the teas and the drink, the silverback drink?
Right. So Three Mountains and AHE are two separate organizations. AHE is a 501c3 nonprofit. So when people make donations, it's tax deductible. Three Mountains is an LLC. And so we're creating products in partnership with people in Rwanda, in that we're buying from them. We're paying premiums for the products. We're paying a fair price. And we're helping our partners tap into new skills to learn. We do an entrepreneurship training. So Three Mountains supports the foundation's entrepreneurship training program. So the women, they're mainly mothers and caregivers of youth who go through the AHE resiliency and trauma healing program, then have the option to go through the entrepreneurship training. So we buy tea from them and then we sell in the US. And one of the programs we're working on right now is going even beyond that. We're actually building a farm with our primary partner group in Rwanda. They go by the name of Umatuzo, which means resilience.
That's a cool
name. We're creating this farm we call Ubuzima Healing Garden. And we're growing the nation's first tulsi and some other plants that we love to drink in our tea here in the States. So I do a tulsi. Did you get the tulsi tea?
You brought it to brunch and I saw so the packaging was so cool. And that's the part that I was like, what are you doing? I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
So it's amazing, right? Because your friend that was with us was going on and on about her favorite tea.
Oh, yeah. So we're blending the tulsi with an oat straw, which is really, really good for the adrenals. It really helps for people who maybe do drink coffee and have, some caffeine and want to counterbalance that, especially at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Helps with rest and rebalance. And then we weave in some organic lemongrass oil from Rwanda.
Ooh.
And that's our tulsi lemongrass blend. So there wasn't any herbal tea options in Rwanda being produced there. So we're creating this new product that not only Three Mountains will buy from, the women producing the tulsi. We've invested in the costs for them to get started. And then we'll help work together to create a local product that can be sold that way. So with everything I do, I try to take a local approach. And just like with AHE, we actually created a model that was culturally appropriate to Rwanda. It wasn't an American model that we just tried to kind of tweak and maybe translate it and then deliver there.
Right. That's so good. And then what about Mr. Emmanuel? Is he part of are you still working with him or are you just kind of consulting with him?
Yeah, that's so, I was at this point with Three Mountains where looking at all the amazing products coming out of Rwanda, looking at the coffee, the tea, the baskets, the jewelry, the fabrics. But I had to start somewhere. I've got these big visions and I knew I had to start with one product line. And the reason I started with tea was partly because if I was drinking, if I was surrounded by coffee, and I mean, that would just be bad news.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love coffee. But I was also looking at the industry forecasts and looking at how much tea can really support a healthy lifestyle. And it's such a young market in the US where the UK tea industry is pretty saturated right now. We're just getting started here. So the opportunity is huge. There's a rising awareness about the loose leaf tea in particular. And so I knew that was the first product line I wanted to start with.
Mm-hmm.
But we do work with coffee farmers still. And Mr. Emmanuel buys coffee from the women we work with and then sells it to some companies in the U.S. So the cooperative is called COOPAC, COOPAC.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely recommend their coffee. It's some of the best I've ever had.
Mm.
And I do a crop-to-cup tour every June. So I've brought coffee companies, roasters. We have a coffee company here in Asheville called Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to Rwanda with me and they met Mr. Emmanuel and they now sell a blend with the coffee from that cooperative.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're still involved with them. And I forget the next part of the question, but Yeah, we're still engaged, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so you said you have, what did you say? You had a few seats left to go to Rwanda in February.
I'm not, don't put pushing me on the plane. She looks at me when she's asking the question. I know what she's doing.
So what would these potential people coming with you be going to help you do?
Mm-hmm. So the February trip will be a combination. It'll be an opportunity to be of service. So we always encourage, we do have a very simple application process. We just want to make sure that people coming with us have, you know, a cultural awareness and also maybe have some skills to offer. So for example, people with a background in business or social work, counseling. I know that our partners right now could use some help with setting up some water irrigation systems. We're looking at like a solar program maybe for irrigation because consistent water supply is always a challenge there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we often open it up to volunteers that have specific skills like that. And then it's also an opportunity for people to, well, I already mentioned the wedding. And then I build in other stops. Like we learn about the genocide. We learn about the forgiveness work that's happening in the country. There's some tourist stops like the cycling center for people who are into that. There's also side trips like the gorilla trek is amazing. And it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. It's like you go out into the jungle with these guides and you spend some time with the Virunga Mountain gorillas. There's only like 450, maybe a little more left. There were only 40 when Diana Fossey lived there and started working with them in the 70s. And so the population is coming back after the genocide. And that's an amazing, amazing thing to experience too. And then in June, we'll do more of the crop to cup work. So we'll spend some time with our tea plucking partners. We have a very close relationship with a woman named Beatrice, and she has been plucking tea for 20 years. She works like 6 days a week. She has 5 children. She's a single mom, genocide survivor, and she's such a beautiful, inspirational light. So she loves having guests into her home for a meal, and then she teaches our guests how to pluck tea out in the fields for the morning. Yeah. And so that's a program that just kind of, it happened organically. Mm-hmm. And now those fees help her pay for her children's school fees. And then we work with a group of women who weave the baskets that we sell, these Agaseki peace baskets filled with tea. And so we meet with them. People have the opportunity to buy and also take a basket weaving lesson. We work with some botanical farmers. So they have fields of lemongrass and rosemary and lavandine and marjoram and so we spend some time there as well. Beautiful. And then there's also a game park. So we do a safari.
Wow. An actual safari, an actual safari.
So Rwanda now has the Big Five. It's the population isn't huge. I have yet to see all 5, but they're bringing in all those animals now. And yeah, it's a full day. We get like a Land Cruiser safari vehicle, and it's amazing.
Wow. So the Big Five are like the animals, the Big Five.
Like rhinos.
Like giraffes, rhinos, lions.
Elephants.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I wasn't talking about animals, guys. I was talking about tea.
Yeah. The Big Five.
Yeah.
You're like, I was talking about lemongrass, marjoram,
yes.
Tulsi, oatgrass, and rosemary. Well, that's really exciting. That sounds like something I want to do.
I had to Google it to remind myself. Ready? It's lion, leopard, rhinoceros, elephant, and Cape buffalo.
Oh.
So those are like the Big Five game that hunters used to refer to. Mm. But then we have a lot of like giraffes and zebras, crocs and deer. And yeah, it's a fun day.
Are you documenting any of this like video wise or movie wise in any way?
You know, I would love to work with someone who could
Bingo.
Help.
Mark's rolling his eyes. I'm trying to get him to go to Rwanda with me.
She wants me to take my camera and video it for you.
We can do podcasts over there. We could do a little documentary for you.
We're going to Kigali?
Yeah, let's go to Kigali. And we can bring Charlie and he could do chiropractic adjustments on us while we're all waiting. We're all waiting around.
I love it. Yeah, we actually, that would be great. You know, because I really think it's time to show the hope and the inspiration of a place like that. It's such a model for letting the world know, like, what light bearers we can be. And so we had all these movies and all this coverage from the genocide and the aftermath of that. And now it's time to show the beauty of Rwanda too. So let's do it.
Yeah, and the recovery, right? Just like what you were saying, not just a recovery of an individual, but the recovery of a nation.
Amazing.
You know, the rebuilding of a nation and in such a beautiful way, you know, not just like in a typical sort of nation building type of way, but in like this sort of organic fair trade, you know, healing from the inside, healing from the spirit out, you know, not just like, you know, building buildings back up again. But I love this story.
I gotta tell you what just started happening with the group we work with, Umatuzo. So Daniel is our full-time field coordinator in the western province of Rwanda. He's the one getting married in February. And he goes up every Sunday and Thursday to meet with the women. And it's a group of 55 mothers and grandmothers now. And then their husband, many of them have husbands who were so inspired watching the past 4 years how much the women have changed and grown and become, as they call them, more peace loving and just you know, easier to live with. The husbands form their own group this summer. Now we're working with them, 25, and then the children, 60 of their children, form their own little association called Vision Youth. And so they all have their own mission statements and vision statements and bylaws and voting rights and all that. So every Sunday now, the women are doing this sharing circle. And so we are starting to document some of this because they want the world to know how the programs are helping them. And they're sharing with each other what's really going on in their lives. And so neighbors are sharing with neighbors. And it's just this amazing, beautiful circle that comes together that's so culturally appropriate. And I think so many of us, you know, myself included, sometimes in the U.S., just feeling like so busy and so like independent, you know, we got to be independent and like maybe a little disconnected with people. I mean, I have good friends I may only see every 2 months. And, you know, it's every week coming together in this circle and community to share. And from that, emotions are coming out and healing is happening and people are really getting to know each other. And it's just, it's really beautiful to watch.
You know, I think that everybody, or at least everyone that I know, and I'm sure Mark, I know Mark agrees with this, but especially these days and the older I get, just craving community, craving being together with people in just the simplest of ways, and just, you know, having people get together for dinner and not this like, oh, let's all go out and meet out and have a dinner experience at a restaurant, at a fancy restaurant or something, but just like, let's all just sit together and have a barbecue and talk, you know, like it doesn't happen enough. And like you said, we're so busy and we're so preoccupied. And I think it's just terrible. I think we really need to just make more of an effort. And I love that that's happening in a place like that, that has so much, such a big wound, you know, that, that needs healing. Tell me more about the Silverback on Tap. What's in it that gives it, that makes it an energy drink?
Oh, yeah. I'm super excited about this. And, you know, part of my inspiration behind creating this was that because I don't drink alcohol anymore, and I live in a town that has so many awesome breweries and like so much beer pouring, and I am social. I like to go out, but, you know, I'm so sick of drinking club soda and lime, and I don't drink sugary soda. So I was looking for a recipe that I could use the tea in to, you know, sell as much tea as possible, because the more tea we sell, the more people we're helping, the more economic impact we're making in Rwanda, and hopefully we're creating more jobs in the U.S. too. I started playing around with our silver needle tea, and I mixed in some black tea, and then I started, you know, formulating this recipe that would have mass appeal without using refined cane sugar. And so that's where I brought in a couple of other ingredients that are organic and low glycemic. So it's between 25 and 50 calories. It's paleo friendly, gluten free, and it's carbonated. Mm. So it's a sparkling tea, and I started making it in kegs. So I'd make it in these small kegs and like tote it around to local breweries and sell it as their non-alcoholic option on tap here in Asheville.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it was born in a keg out of the back of my car.
I love it.
And yeah, everyone really likes it and is asking, you know, how they can get it at home. So that's when I decided to put it in cans. So that's the canning project we have going on right now. And our official launch date is December 1st, but we will be sampling it out at an event here this Thursday night in Asheville called Taste and Tunes, and you can, you know, find it around town off tap.
Mm. And then you were having it manufactured out here in the cans, you were saying.
Yeah, we chose a partner out there. It just was a really good fit, and they have the right facility, and we're looking at, you know, really heading the West Coast this winter with the product. So it should be available in your area within the next month.
Ooh, I like the sound of that. Sparkling anything makes me happy.
And it's a natural energy. It's very energizing, but it doesn't have, you know, the same kind of buzz as some of the energy drinks out there. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea behind the silverback, I already told you about the gorillas in Rwanda, and the silverback, it's like such a fierce, like, you know, proud animal, and it represents strength and health. And I really want people who are into like adventure and health to tap into this drink. It's packable and it's going to have a good shelf life too.
Oh, I like the sound of it. I want to try it for sure. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll be sure to get you some as soon as it's ready.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll be canning this Thursday out there.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So what else do you want to share with us? Is there anything we didn't touch on that you wanted to share with us?
Well, thank you for offering that. You know, I guess this is just something that I am so passionate about. And I, you know, I have this presentation that I do sometimes called Finding Rwanda. And a lot of people wonder, like, why Rwanda? You know, or maybe people can't really get that. What I guess I want people to really know is this isn't so much about Rwanda. It's about, you know, I am so grateful to have discovered my passion and my calling, and it's really helped me to get to know myself and to see where I can be of service in the world. And it's in being of service in the world, I get to know and love myself even more. So it's a selfish act too. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I want people to know who maybe feel like they're not on their path, or they're like struggling with their job. You know, I remember having that sick feeling in my stomach on Sunday night and Monday morning when I wasn't doing the work I was meant to be doing. It was just like I dreaded the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad I experienced that, because now I get to know the opposite, and now I get to live in gratitude for what I've created, but what I've been, you know, given the opportunity to see. So I hope if anyone's in that position out there, that they, you know, maybe have the courage to follow their passion, because I do believe if we follow our passion, the money comes too. Mm-hmm. So don't let anything stand in your way.
Mm. I love that. That's beautiful. And well, it's so true. Yeah. And then I want you to tell people how they can reach you, how they can know more about you and about everything.
Okay. So we have a number of social channels. The website for AHE is healingexchange.org. And we are in the middle of a fall fundraising campaign. So there is information on the website about how to support if you want to make a financial gift, or if you want to get involved with service or board membership or take a trip to Rwanda with us. And then 3mountains.org, that's the number 3mountains with an S. That's our website that also links to our Shopify sites for Team of Tea. You can purchase the tins online now. It's a great holiday gift. And link up with me on social. We have all the social buttons on our website, and I'd be happy to correspond with customers directly.
Great. And then we'll have that information in the show notes as well, in case anybody didn't write that down. And okay, so I guess the next thing we need to do is figure out our trip to Rwanda with you.
Exactly.
I love it. I think this is, you know, once in a while we do off-topic shows, but I think we did kind of wove it. I think you did a good job of weaving it into Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. You touched on the whole concept behind, you know, healing and the resilience and adrenals and I think that that's relevant, and I think it was the perfect topic for Stuff Your Doctor Should Know, and it was so inspiring, and I'm really, 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 really happy for you, and congratulations on your sobriety. I think it's amazing, and look what you're doing in the world. This is exciting.
Yeah, it's such a gift. Thank you, guys. I really enjoyed today, and I'll definitely send you some of those cans as soon as we get them ready.
Oh, thank you. I'll touch base with you soon, and we'll talk some more.
All right. Thanks, Kitty. Thanks, Mark.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. I think that she is so sweet and so special. Didn't you love that?
I have to remember that I'm on a podcast instead of listening to a podcast sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because with her, I just, you know, in the beginning you said, well, he has a lot of questions, but I couldn't ask.
You forgot. You checked.
No,
you were listening.
No. I was just listening so much. I was so inspired by her story. I think that is something to convey. And she mentioned it. She closed up at the end with it that, you know, she's a person who really found her purpose, you know, going through life and feeling, you know, dead inside with the process that, you know, if not all of us kind of go down the road and do. I mean, I think you and I, we talked about this, we all come to California to break out of that, you know, to do something different. And I was really inspired by that. She's so industrious and she found her purpose and plan. And so within her drive to find meaning in her life, she's now also doing it in the area of commerce. She's making a living, and also that living that she's doing is also helping her and other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, she really is. It's truly inspiring. So yeah. I was listening in awe, actually, just really taking it in.
Well, I was very serious about the concept of joining her. You know, I think I don't know. I feel like there was a little something there, you know, some kind of future there with us.
You know,
together,
if you want to explore that, I would be open to that. I wouldn't say no to that door if that actually came about.
Well, I had texted Charlie briefly right when we were transitioning into this outro. And I said, because his birthday is February 2nd. And I said, hey, Rwanda for your birthday, little safari, little nation building. And he replied, cool. So who knows? Maybe we can have a chat with her again and really talk about how we could contribute to that, you know, and how we could help. I don't know. We'll see. Speaking of helping, you know, with the fires yesterday, my girlfriend Kinga and I, she posted the potentially needing help for the fires. She had access to this dog grooming truck with a bunch of animal crates, and that she wanted to help transport animals. And I was like, great, I'm on board, you know, so I jumped in and we both, you know, I you had called me because I canceled church to go help her. And we were like, it was so funny. We were like with our little, yes.
Your dog's talking, came up and just
came
and
just started talking
and started yelping. That never happens.
Maldita.
Maybe she has to go to the bathroom.
The back door is open.
Okay.
Anyway, so come here. So what happened was we were just so eager to try and help everyone and what was happening over there and with the fires. And they were overwhelmed with help. They were completely overwhelmed. They didn't know. They said what we need is they needed help with like more like organization than they did with actual people coming in there. They didn't want people to come in there. They were worried that people would get stuck. And so basically, you're going to get her going. So basically, we were stuck. We had this truck. We were ready to be superheroes.
You went to the truck? Oh, no, you had a truck.
No, no, no. We had her boyfriend has access to this truck. And so anyway, it was just a good effort. But it was fun reaching out to the fire department in Venice, who were amazing. And then I called council member Mikey Pearson, who actually married Charlie and I, who is now the councilman in Malibu, and called him, and he said it's pretty horrible up there. But we reached out to him, and we just called on every single human we could possibly think of, and she did on her end too, and they didn't need more help. So it's just that desire to want to help when things are, you know, Sarah mentioned, watching that movie, that horrible, horrible movie, and just feeling like, is there something I can do, you know, something.
Well, it does give you that immediate connection, as you said, and the lack of community, especially in cities and just every day and in life and struggling to make a living. We lack that community, and that is, and that's why I'm kind of inspired by that. I'm you know, just loving that is the answer. That is the key. It is a community, whether or not it's getting together and unfortunate events, but those do bring people together.
It does. It gives you perspective. And the reality is life is hard and traumas and tragedy happens, you know, and we have to just be ready when the time comes to, you know, offer assistance in any way that we can. And so, I don't know. I loved her story so much. I wanted to also remind everyone something that we were talking about was how Charlie said, you know what, we don't have any fermented veggies in the house anymore, like in the refrigerator.
I know, right?
And I keep having to buy them. And the problem is that I've just been so busy, you know, not so busy that I don't have time to cook and stuff, but to make veggies. And so I get it. I get that a lot of people are having issues with that. It's like hard. So you have to go to the grocery store. Costco has them now. But I am going to start doing it again now that things are kind of lightening up just a little bit. And Charlie reminded me that I still have the course, the fermentation course through the Body Ecology. And the really cool thing is that you shot it and I teach it. So Mark actually produced the whole thing and I was the talent in it and of course the chef and create, and I teach you how to make fermented foods. Everything from cultured vegetables to coconut kefir to dairy kefir to nut cheeses that are fermented to coconut pudding. Everything and the science behind how it works and the different ways you can do it and the different tools you need to do it. And it is a really, really incredible course. And something that Body Ecology did is they lowered the price, because I was surprised when they first did it. It was like $200, which is a lot of money, you know? And they lowered it. It's like, let me just double check to make sure that it's still, it's the Body Ecology Fermentation Course. And you can Google that, or let's see, here it is. It comes right up. If you Google Body Ecology Fermentation Course, you'll see Bee Cultured Fermentation Course, Body Ecology. And that's the first link on Google that comes up. And there I am. It's only $97 now.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
I remember that video. I have to admit, the best part about that was eating all the food you had to make at the end of it. I'm like thinking, oh, should we that steak with the grass-fed beef with the
kimchi.
I was like, wow, that was so good.
That's in my book, actually.
Is that right?
In my Gut Health Diet for Beginners book, yeah. So if you go there, you can actually, to the Body Ecology Fermentation Course online, just Google that, and it'll come right up, and you can purchase that and learn. It is a wealth of information and knowledge you will use for a long time. And I highly recommend it, and it's awesome. And then what else did I want to talk about? Oh, our Truth Treatments and pharmacist Ben Fuchs and his amazing products that I'm so in love with. I'm about to do the other part of the before and after and post the photos of my, what is this called? Your upper chest? It's a French word. Look it up real quick. Upper chest. Décolleté?
I'm searching my memory banks for a word.
Well, anyway, it's the part of the chest that should, not the cleavage, it's up higher. It's this part. It's like this whole part of the chest where the necklace lies, you know? So I had done this before and after thing where I was using one of his products to try to get rid of the wrinkles on my chest because I'm starting to get wrinkles up there.
Well, it's a décolletage.
Décolletage.
It's a term used in women's fashion referring to the upper part of a woman's torso comprising neck, shoulders, back, and upper chest.
Neck, shoulders, back, and upper chest. Décolletage.
Décolletage. I have not heard of that before.
Yeah, so my décolletage was starting to age. I was starting to get these wrinkles, you know? And I'm especially like when I would wake up in the morning. And so I started using, so Ben was like, you have to use the retinol product that is, that he has. So I was using it. And okay, you're going to go to your bedroom, young lady.
We're on a podcast. Give us 10 minutes, please.
So anyway, my dog is nuts. I'll tell you why, because she's so healthy.
Did you walk her this morning?
Yeah, she was at the park for an hour, dude. She was running around the park like the Tasmanian devil. She was not even able to breathe. She was drinking water like she was lost in the desert.
You give her activated charcoal in her water.
And then I bring her home. I'm like, oh, she's going to sleep right through the podcast. And now she's crazy again.
I know. She's attacking
her lamb.
The lamb.
So I started using this retinol and now I've been using it for X amount of time, and I'll tell you all about that. And then I have this before and after picture, and it's crazy. It is nuts what happened to my décolletage. So, and I get a lot of sun there too. So it was really, it's good for sun damage. I also was putting it on my wrinkles, on my crow's feet, but I'm a little bit afraid to put it on my face because, you know, retinol kind of thins the skin and it kind of makes, so we'll see. He's like, don't worry, just go easy, use it, you're gonna love it on your face. So I'm gonna do that next, but I'm addicted to his products. I can't even take it. It's like amazing, and they last forever and ever. So even though they're expensive, because trust me, they are expensive, they last and last and last and last. And so you barely need any, and you have to just use some water. So I spray my face with it, or I spray my décolletage, and then I rub in the product, and it goes a long way. So truthtreatments.com, and you can use the coupon code, which is HaveTheTruthCM. Right? Have the Truth CM, not KM. Have the Truth CM as in Catalina Martone, not Kitty Martone. Mm. Have the Truth CM. And go crazy with that stuff, because I'm telling you, I got all of the products and they have the vitamin C. It's like pure vitamin C rubbed right into your skin. So I told you about my bike crash when I fell and all the skin came off on my elbow and on my leg. And the scar on my heel, on my ankle started to keloid up and get purple and fat. Mm. I just started rubbing the vitamin C one day, and then I would put the healing cream, which is a omega, this bubble's getting you, and the omega into my little keloid scar, and it's totally going away. It's completely not keloided
anymore.
That's
impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So truthtreatments.com, have the Truth CM is your very own coupon code from Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. And what else, guys? I don't know. I'm so excited about everything these days. I can't take it.
I mean, you have to talk about Just Thrive. Come on. I love Just
Thrive. Oh, my God. How can I forget Just Thrive?
Because I'm back on it ever since our last podcast.
I know. And our order, we have a whole big order coming in here soon, because I can't wait to get on the K2.
Right.
I can't wait to overdose on the K2.
I know. The mitochondrial food.
Yeah, the food for your mitochondria. Oops, sorry about that.
What's that?
That was me bumping into the table and picking up my dog. All right, you happy now, you spoiled brat? We do have to talk about dogs soon, because everyone's asking me, how is Dita so healthy? How do you do this? So,
what's coupon code for Just Thrive?
Just Thrive. So Just Thrive, for those of you who just are joining us, is a spore-based probiotic. Ew. And it's a spore-based probiotic that is the only way that you can actually help re-inoculate the gut with beneficial bacteria, the keystone strains of beneficial bacteria that help you re-establish your gut. You can't do this any other way. You can't do it with other probiotics that don't even make it past the stomach acid. This is the only way to do it. You can get Megaspore. You can do other spore-based probiotics if you want, but spore-based probiotics are the way to go. Just Thrive is our spore-based probiotic of choice. Say that 10 times fast. And use your coupon code HGG20 for 20% off. 20% off, guys. That's a lot. It matters. Every percentage matters. Thank you for joining us, everyone. And we will see you next time.
Yay!